This morning, open up your Bibles this morning to the book of Galatians, and we will be in Galatians chapter 5 this morning. Galatians chapter 5. We are going to do a whopping one verse. Well, we're going to look at a couple other ones here and there, but it'll be Galatians chapter 5 verse 18. Excuse me. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, keep that in mind, because I want to show you some other verses about how it is that we're to be living our lives now that we are Christians, that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit, that we are filled with the Holy Spirit. And because we are that, we are not under the law any longer. We're living a new life now that is Spirit-led and Spirit-filled. Paul gives us some glimpses of it in another letter, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. And here's what he says there. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Then you jump down to verse 17, and he says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man. And we're going to be talking about the old man versus the new man this morning. The old man is the fallen nature, the old you, before you came to Christ. And then when we come to Christ, we will see the miracle that takes place, and we become a new man. He said, which is created to be created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Then you look at chapter 5, at verse 7 of Ephesians. And he says this, therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. So over and over, we are exhorted to be filled with the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit. And this is how we are now to live. Put off the old man and put on the new man, to walk the new life that we have now in Christ. Now, people who are not born again are still under the law. And that's what our text tells us here. Now that we are born again Christians, we're no longer under the law. He says in verse 18 of Galatians 5, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And of course, that was the debate going on in the church of Galatia. Paul wrote this letter in order to refute the Judaizers who were trying to bring the Christians back under the old covenant, under the old Mosaic law, rather than under the new covenant and being sealed with, filled with, and empowered by the Spirit of God. And so in Romans 8:2, Paul says, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. So, as Christians, when we're born again, we are not under the law. We are not law-led. I don't wake up every morning and go, okay, I better read the law and make sure I'm doing the law. I don't do that. We're not law-led or law-ruled. We are spirit-led and spirit-ruled. And literally, this verse tells us, if you are yielded, if you are willingly led by the Spirit, then you're not even under the law at all. So what do we really need every single day as believers is a surrendered will, a yielded life. Then we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Because when you're an unyielded person and you're an unsaved person, you live your life by the flesh, by this fallen nature, by its passions. And thus, those are the people that are still under the law. So to be led by the Spirit means that He will change us and transform us on the inside. To be born again is a transformation miraculously that's done by the hand of God within the child of God. And so this section gives us the key to living, having a victorious life over the flesh, over our sinful nature. And so the Holy Spirit, the new birth, washes us, washes the believer's heart, and changes us so that we can now do what God wants us to do, because He empowers us by His Spirit to accomplish it. Now, last Sunday in verse 16, we saw Paul give us the practical advice on how to have victory over the flesh. Look back at verse 16. He says in chapter 5 of Galatians, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." What I love about what Paul says here is this. He says, listen, guys, you don't need more rules. Or he doesn't say, here, let me give you an extended or an amplified list of do's and don'ts that you already had under the law. The law's list, you know, he didn't come out and say, you know, the law's list is just too short. I need to make some more rules for you guys to follow. That's not what he does. And I'm really glad about that. For me personally, I'm glad about that because at that time, the Jews had, when you count up all the Old Testament rules of do's and don'ts, they had 613 of them. And you had to follow those. There were 200 some odd that were positive and 300 and some odd that were negative. And I say I'm glad about that personally because I can barely remember my phone number. Someone asked me, what's your number? Or what's your, kid's number? I don't know. It's in my phone. Let me look it up, I can't remember stuff, And I was asked the other day by a man sitting right there that put me on the spot. And he said to me, I'd like to pray for your grandchildren every Friday. Can you give me their names? I'm like, let me go ask my wife. Because all my grandkids have nicknames. They don't have real names. I nicknamed every one of them, I nicknamed all my kids. Big Man, Sosi, Bunny Rabbit, and Chooch. Those are my four kids' names. My grandkids' names. Buddy Boy, Buddy Girl, Baby Blue. Who else do I have? See, I can't even remember how many I have. Anyways, you get the point, right? And so, I don't even know their real names. So I would not be able to remember 613 rules. Imagine, for illustration's sake, you went to a church and you said, I want to join the church. And the church said, I can't talk either. And the church said, listen, here's the rules, and you have to follow these rules. I want you to go study them, and once you agree to them, then you can come back, and if you agree, then you can sign on the dotted line. And imagine a list of 613 do's and don'ts. And what if they tested you on it? We're going to have a test and see if you know those, right? Can you imagine? Or remember when Paul spoke to the Philippian jailer? And the Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 6, an earthquake happens, all the doors fling open. The Philippian jailer thinks he's a goner because if you were a jailer and the prisoners escaped, you were held responsible, and then you would be put to death because you let the prisoners escape. So he's about to fall on his sword and kill himself because he knows the Romans are going to do it to him anyway. And then Paul stops him and says, don't do it. We're still here. And then the guy comes and falls down at Paul's feet. He's just shaking. And he says to Paul the apostle, "What must I do to be saved?" Can you imagine Paul the apostle saying, "Well, do you have a parchment? Sit down. I'm going to give you 613 rules. And plus the ones I've added now in Christianity." But that's not what he did. He said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. You believe and your household believe and you'll all be saved." And that's basically what he told them. And so, you know, it's sad that so many Christians and so many churches, what in their minds, what it means to be a Christian is just that you have more rules than everybody else. And that, for many people, is what Christianity's about. I remember a guy came here years ago, and he said to me, "Hey, Pastor Joseph, I've been coming here a little bit, and I used to belong to this church over here, and I feel like the Lord's led me over here, and now I want to join your church. So what do I got to do? Where do I got to sign? Is there a list of rules I have to memorize?" And I said, "What are you talking about?" And he said, "Well, over at my other church, I had a list of these rules." And I said, "Well, I'm just curious, like, what were the rules? What did you have to sign in order to be a member?" And he said, "Well, we were not allowed to play cards." And I was like, "What do you mean, strip poker or what?" You know, it's like, no, just kidding. All right, no, you can't play cards. You could not watch movies. You could not go to the movie theater. If you went to the movie theater, you're out. You know, and you couldn't drink beer, you know, or anything. I mean, there was tons of rules. I mean, there was more than that, but those are the ones that I kind of remember. But Paul doesn't do that. What he does is when he's teaching us about what it means to be a Christian, he simplifies it. And he simply says this: yield, submit, surrender your life to the Lord. Be surrendered to the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit control you. Let the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you, your life and your steps. Walk in the Spirit. That's what we've been learning about. And when you walk in the Spirit, what's going to happen to the flesh? It will become less and less strong and more dormant or incapacitated as we yield to the Spirit working in our lives. So the way to win the battle over the flesh, which we still struggle with, I'll talk about that here in a second, is to yield to the Spirit daily, being filled afresh with the Spirit daily. You remember last week we talked about verse 17? He says, "For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish." Every single one of us as Christians have two natures, or two things that battle within us, the Spirit versus the flesh. We still have that old sinful nature. And the one that we yield to ultimately is going to be the one that rules us. And so we need to be yielded to the Holy Spirit. And so we are either doing the will of God or we're doing the will of the flesh, which ultimately leads to doing Satan's stuff. And that's what he's saying here. "For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. They're contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish." So let's come to this sort of foundational truth of the Christian life. And it'll save us a lot of grief. It'll save us a lot of guilt and condemnation. And the foundational truth is this, is that we live in a physical human body. And this body of flesh and blood that we've inherited from our parents, and they inherited from their parents, and they inherited from their parents, our great-grandparents and our great-great-grandparents, all the way back to Adam and Eve. We have all inherited from our parents a fallen and a sinful nature. Romans chapter 5 tells us that sin entered by the world through one man and death through sin. And then it says, and all sinned. So all of us have within us a fallen sinful nature as Christians still. And it's a nature that does have a propensity to sin. A nature whose basic desire is to pull us towards self-satisfaction or fleshly gratification. And this battle goes on. And we need to understand who we are. Paul said in Romans chapter, I think it was Romans 7. He said that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. You know, that's why Paul says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to. Because in our flesh, we are rotten and sinful to the core. And we live in a world of other people that are just like us. In the flesh, all humans are fallen, sinful, and rotten to the core. I know that doesn't sound very nice. But every one of us are born with our backs toward God. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to our own way. And we live in rebellion against God in that fallen state, being sons and daughters of Adam and Eve. But now that we come to Christ, something takes place, a transformation, a miraculous thing. We were once darkness, Paul says. You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. And so when we look at verse 17, and we talk about this battle for the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, Paul describes to us here a war, and we talked about it last week, face-to-face in conflict, being lined up in a spiritual duel. That's the flesh versus the spirit within each one of us. And every one of us are yielding ourselves to one or the other every single day, or sometimes in certain situations. The spirit or the flesh, the spirit of God will keep you out of trouble. Your flesh will get you into tons of trouble. Take it from me. I've done it in the last week or two. And so, it'll get you in trouble when you start to get in the flesh. You start to get mad or whatever. And so we need to learn how to be yielded to the Spirit of God. Because now every one of us have those two, the two natures. If we're Christians. Now, if you're not a Christian and you're not born again of the Holy Spirit, you still are only living by the flesh. You're still living in a fallen state, ruled by the flesh or ruled by your sinful nature. You still have only the nature of Adam. You're a son of Adam. That's why Jesus said what he said to Nicodemus. Do you remember that conversation he had with Nicodemus? A very religious man, yet he was still lost. Which tells me it's very possible to be very religious and yet still completely lost and miss heaven. Nicodemus was religious, and yet Jesus points out to him. He says to Nicodemus, he says, I tell you the truth, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He will not enter. He cannot be part of it. Nicodemus doesn't get it. And he goes, well, how can I enter a second time into my mother's womb and be born? I'm too big, you know, or whatever. That was his thinking. And Jesus says to him, flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to the spirit. And so we're all born of the flesh. Flesh gave birth to us, our mommies, right? Born of the flesh. But the spirit gives birth to the spirit. Now Titus chapter 3 verse 2 describes to us what a person is like who is living in the flesh. This is what we were like BC. Before we were born again of the Spirit. Paul says there, being foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. And that is a description of every single human being that is in an unregenerate state, who has not been born again. That is how they are living their lives. Before we come to Christ, before we asked him into our lives, before we were born again by the Spirit, sealed with the Holy Spirit of God, and we were living unregenerate, we were enslaved to all kinds of passions and pleasures and lusts and sinful desires. All you have to do, if you're a Christian here this morning, or even if you're not a Christian here this morning, I'm probably going to describe how you're living now. But even for us that came to know the Lord, Now, some of you were blessed because you came to know the Lord as kids. Your parents brought you up in the church, and maybe at a young age, you made a commitment to follow Christ, and maybe somehow, miraculously, you didn't backslide, and you went all the way through since a young person, and you've been following Christ. I am so jealous of you, because that's not what happened to me or to most of us. I didn't come to the Lord until I was 20 years old, and by then, I'd made a huge wreck of things. But when you look back at your own life, how did you live before you were changed by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the power of His Spirit? Now, I know some of you, because I'm good friends with you, I know some of your testimony. And all I can say, two words, not pretty. That's what it was like, your BC days. It was not pretty. You had a PhD in sin. You know, we go golfing and on Mondays usually, and if somebody makes a really good shot, and none of us are pros, right? But if somebody makes a great shot, and that happens once in a while, I'll joke around with them and I'll say, "Man, you should turn pro." Well, some of you were professional sinners before you came to Christ. You were super good at it, right? Your life's passion was to live for your lusts and your sinful nature. And you had your mind on how to fulfill your lusts and passions. And maybe you had stacks of pornography under your bed. And you lived in sexual fantasies, and you were enslaved in your mind to all kinds of lusts of the flesh and the lusts of the eyes. Or maybe you had a fridge filled with beer, was always filled with beer, and you know, you lived in a perpetual state of drunkenness. Now, it's interesting that the Bible says the world calls people like that alcoholics. The Bible calls them drunkards, and that drunkards will not inherit the kingdom of God. But maybe your sin was drugs. You were always drugged out, or maybe you were a stoner. You know, I told you I used to be like that. I thought marijuana was the answer to life. I was a marijuana evangelist. I went around preaching marijuana, you know. That's why when I see someone doing that today, I'm like, man, I remember when I was so lost and I thought marijuana was the answer to everything. But maybe your sin was lying, and you were constantly lying or stealing or brawling. I know a couple of guys in this church that they used to brawl. They used to just love to get drunk and fight. And they used to brawl all the time. Or maybe your sin, BC, was adultery. And you were having an affair after another affair after another affair after another affair. I remember years and years ago, I will never mention names, of course, but in a counseling session, talking to a couple, and this guy had had 13 affairs on his wife over a long period of time. And in my mind, I'm like, why are you with this idiot? Oh, sorry. Are you supposed to not say that in church? And so, you know, who knows what sin had enslaved you? What sin had entangled you? What sin Satan had you in? Maybe it was the sins of the tongue, of slander, or gossip, or cursing. Maybe you could curse all day long and, you know, and use a different curse word in every sentence. That's how good you were at it. Some of you might have practiced a lifestyle of sexual promiscuity, sleeping around, going from one partner to another partner to another partner. As Nacho, did anybody see Nacho Libre? Remember when Nacho Libre said to the nun, "You know, you better not come over here to my room because they might think you're a floozy." You know. And some of you were floozies before you came to Christ. Maybe you practiced a lifestyle of greed, covetousness, and your God was mammon, your God was money. You were possessed by possessions, by stuff, by materialism. Those things ruled your life. And all that you could think about is more and more and more. You know, Jesus said, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. Interesting that he called us sick. I don't mind if someone calls me sick if I'm sick. I don't like it when someone says you're sick and you're not sick. But when Jesus says we're sick, we're sin sick. We really are sick, right? And so Jesus came to heal us. It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. He came to free us from sin. Jesus said everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Paul gives a clear description of what sin looks like. And I'm going to talk about this in a little bit, but there are different lists in the scriptures, and Paul gives us a list of sin in one portion of scripture that's very telling. Turn with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Listen to what Paul says here. Now remember, he's writing this to Christians who are now Christians, who once weren't Christians, but had become Christians. But they weren't really doing what they should have been doing as Christians. They weren't really living the life they should have been there in Corinth. And so Paul's giving them some rebuke and some correction. And he's saying, listen, I'm going to warn you guys about this. And he gives them a warning here. And this is to the two believers. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And so he starts off with a very, very firm and powerful warning question. He asks the Corinthians, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? And then he answers who the unrighteous are, or what does an unrighteous person do? What does that person do? How does he live, the person that will not inherit the kingdom of God? And then he lays it out for us, and he goes on to tell us, with a solemn warning, he says right off the bat, he says, look what he says as we look at verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? The very next thing that he says is, do not be deceived, he says. Don't be deceived. And he says, neither fornicators. What is fornication? It's a fancy word of saying you're a floozy. Okay, you're sleeping around, you're sleeping with people, nor idolaters. You have idols in your life that are ruling you, nor adulterers. You're not faithful to your spouse, nor homosexuals. You are with people of the same sex, nor sodomites, same thing, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And we notice there are no exceptions. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. This is a very strong warning. God doesn't grade on a curve. He says, if you're living like this, this will happen to you. You will not inherit the kingdom of God. Pretty straightforward. Now you might be thinking, well, Pastor Joseph, then I am history. I'm headed for hell. I'm toast. Because I've done all of these things, or I'm doing all of these things. Now what do I do? I've been a drunkard, or I am a drunkard, or an extortioner, or whatever, fornicator, adulterer, thief. There's a clause here, though, that's good news for us. And the clause is this, the catch is the cross. The cross can change everything for us. Look at verse 11. Notice what he says. And such were, past tense, were some of you. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. I am so thankful for the cross. Because of the cross, we can be forgiven. No matter how wretched or horrible we've lived, we can be forgiven all of our sins because of what Christ did for us on the cross. So such were some of you, past tense, and that's the key, were. When you come to Christ, You are washed. A miraculous thing takes place. I love the buts of God in the Bible. They're fantastic. Look at verse 11 again. But you used to be like that. It's how you once lived. You were that, but you were washed. What happens to us when we come to Christ? We're washed of our sins. But you were sanctified. It means to be set apart now for God for holy use. You were justified. It means to be declared innocent of all sin. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. So when the Spirit of God comes to live in us, we are sealed. We become His. He takes ownership of us. He cleans us, cleanses us of all unrighteousness. That's why, as a Christian, I never stand up here and tell you this. You'll never hear me say this. I'm a recovering fornicator. Or I'm a recovering drunkard. Or I'm a recovering druggie. Or I'm a recovering stoner. I wouldn't say any of that. You know why I don't say that? Because I've been set free from all of that by Jesus. I've been set free from my life BC. I'm convinced that people who say such things either don't really grasp and understand the gospel, or they've really never experienced it yet, and the power of the resurrection and the power of Christ to change a man or a woman on the inside. So if they're still saying, I'm a drunk, I'm a druggie, I'm a fornicator, and they really have not grasped what Christ came to do to free us, to make us a new creation in Christ. You know, I remember as a non-Christian trying to quit doing a lot of the garbage I was doing because I was making a mess of my life and making a mess of other people's lives, and I saw it. And I wanted to quit. I tried quitting drinking many times. I tried quitting drinking and doing drugs and fornicating. I tried. But then I'd get in a position of temptation, and I was so weak I would fall right back into it again. But when I gave my life to Christ, Jesus' word is true. Jesus is true to his word. Jesus is the truth. And Jesus said this, if the Son sets you free, you will be what? Free indeed. Ah, Bible scholars, good job. You will be free indeed. And so he's come for that very reason, to deliver us, to free us from the power of sin ruling us, from the slavery of sin, you know, driving us or making us do what we did. And then he's freed us from the penalty of sin, that there's no condemnation because Christ paid our condemnation on the cross. So you might say, well, Joseph, you know, I know you. I know your past. Yeah, I did have a rotten past, a rotten BC. Yes, I was once darkness, but the Bible says now I am light. You are light in the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:17, one of the most profound verses describing what takes place in our lives when we become a Christian, says this, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old is past and gone. Behold, all things have become fresh and new. So, you can say this. I can say this now. I'm no longer what I once was or who I once was. Now, does that mean I'm perfect? No, I'm not. I still mess up. I still blow it. I still struggle with the flesh. But here's the thing. I'm no longer who I once was, but I'm not yet what I should be because I'm still, and you still are, a work in progress. That's called sanctification. At salvation, we were washed. We were sanctified, set apart for God, and we were justified. And now the process of sanctification continues in our lives. And it's all done by the Spirit of God. So now you, me, we, all of us who have become Christians are new. The old is dead and buried and gone. We've been crucified with Christ. We've risen with Christ. You who are going to be baptized this next week, this verse is very applicable. Romans 6:4 says, we were buried with him through baptism. At our baptism, it is a picture of us, the old man, being buried once and for all, dead and gone, buried. What do you do with a dead body? Well, normally you take it to the graveyard and you bury it, right? And so we were buried with him through baptism into death, and that just as Christ was raised from the dead, We too once were dead in transgressions and sins. We are raised now to new life. Christ was raised from the dead, but by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. This is what we're learning about this morning. Walking in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, walking in the newness of life. So let me ask you this morning, are you doing that? Are you walking in the newness of life? Are you walking in the Spirit? Are you walking, being led by the Spirit? Does the Spirit of God have control in your life? Or are you walking in the flesh and under the power of the old sinful nature? Maybe you're still spiritually dead. You've never been born again. I'll give you a chance at the end of this service to give your life to Christ if you want to be born again. It's the only way we can go to heaven. We have to be made ready by the Spirit of God and by the blood of Christ cleansing us, made ready for heaven. Romans 8:5 says, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on the things of the flesh. That's our lives BC. Our minds were set on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit have their minds set on the things of the Spirit. So what's your mindset today? What is your mind occupied with? Romans 8:6 says, to be fleshly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So the Bible, I said this earlier, is full of lists. And the reason there are lists in the Bible, because it was the ancient writers' way. They loved to communicate, express truth like this. And what they would do is they would write these lists, and often they would have two lists that were in opposition to one another. We're going to read that here in a second. But they would lay vices versus virtues. They would put them side by side, and they would say, don't follow these, but do follow these. And this is a great way to learn. It's very black and white. A great way to see things, very cut and dry. And for you, and like if you're like me that are hard-headed, then it's a good way to see it. Very black and white. So we're going to cheat ahead, and we're going to end with this morning. This will be next week's sermon if we're still here, or if the rapture doesn't come, or the Lord doesn't call us home, or we don't end up in jail. Okay? Let's see. or maybe not you guys, but me. So anyway, if I get in the flesh. All right. So back to, pray for me I don't get in the flesh. But back to Galatians chapter 5. This will be our text next week. But look at these lists. By the way, I'll share with you next week, but this list saved my life. Both of these things. This portion of Scripture saved my life, saved me spiritually, and brought me to Christ. It's one of my favorite portions of Scripture. Look at verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery. That word is interesting, sorcery. It's the Greek word pharmakia. It's where we get our word pharmaceutical. It means drug use. Hatred, contention, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. And Paul lays out a warning here again in this section of Scripture, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, so Paul had talked to them about this already, taught on this already, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And then he lays in contrast. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who belong to Christ or who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Talked about that last week. It's the idea of marching all together in unison, following the Spirit of God. He said, let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. We'll talk about these lists next week. The contrast between walking in the flesh versus walking in the Spirit, or being filled with the Spirit and led by the Spirit of God. But as we close this morning, if you're here, I just want to offer you an invitation. to give your life to Christ today. Jesus came to change us, to make us a new creation. But we have to submit and surrender our lives to him and say, Lord, I'm a sinner and you're a savior. I'm a great sinner and you're a greater savior. And I want to trust you to save me and to forgive me and to cleanse me today. So if you're here this morning and you'd like to make that commitment to Christ, I want you to raise your hand up. And I'm not having you bow your heads this time because, you know, every person that came to Christ, he called publicly and unashamedly. If you want to follow Jesus and you're not ashamed to say, you know what, I'm a sinner and I do need a Savior. I did this. Most of us in this room have probably done it as well. At some point when we made a commitment, I want to give you that opportunity this morning. If you're here and you say, you know what, I want to give my life to Christ, will you pray for me, Pastor, or lead me in a prayer so I can pray and make a commitment? If you're here, raise your hand. Anybody? Unashamed. Right here? Right on. I commend you. Right on. Anyone else? Anyone else? Praise the Lord. All right, let's bow our heads and you can pray this prayer with me, okay? I'll kind of lead you, but let it be your own, okay? Let's all, you can all pray it too, if you want to. Let's pray it together. Father, we are so grateful for the cross. And I thank you today for dying on the cross to pay for all my sins. Lord, I am sorry for what my sin did to you and how my sin hurt you and cause you to suffer. Lord, I ask for your forgiveness today. Cleanse me, Lord, of all my sins. And Lord, forgive me for hurting others. Today I surrender my life. And I want to follow you from this day forward. So Lord, I open my life, my heart, and ask you to come in to be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. All right. And maybe you're here and you were embarrassed to do it, but then you said the prayer. And if you need a Bible, we have new believers packets we can give to you. I think we have some in the prayer room. If you need prayer for any reason, there'll be some folks in there to pray with you, pray for you. We love you guys. You know, living for the Lord is the greatest life, but it's also the hardest. It's very hard. And your life is under a microscope. And I'm telling you, if you say one wrong thing or do one wrong thing, it'll be like, you know, some people will attack you, you know. It's like Satan's just waiting to accuse you. But we have a great, great, merciful, loving Savior that even if we do mess up, he forgives us. One of my favorite verses, 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If I had a record or that was on a record, it would be worn out because I use it all the time. Lord, forgive me, Lord. I shouldn't have said that or I shouldn't have done that or whatever, you know. And God is a merciful God. He knows our frame that we're but dust. We blow it sometimes, but then he picks us back up and gets us back on the right course. Amen? Let's all stand and sing one last song with our lovely ladies. They're so faithful, these folks. Such a blessing. And Victor's back there, our drummer. Yeah. Victor had open heart surgery. How long ago, Vic? 7 weeks. So he's about to come back up here and start drumming again. So we're excited. Praise God. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful day.